On Friday, July 5th, we put the spotlight again on the town of Fairfield. We heard from two more concerned citizens about a possible plan for expanding affordable housing in the town. And then we wrapped up the show with Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly of Stratford, his weekly check-in from the state capitol. And we are back at 3:08, almost 8 past 3. This is Connecticut Today. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. And we are here every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, right here on WICC 600 and WICC600.com. Earlier this week, you had a couple of folks in discussing what's going on right now, kind of a discussion. I don't know whether you would call it a controversy or not, but we have two sides in Fairfield trying to come together on a plan forward for expansion of what is termed affordable housing in the town of Fairfield, housing that would be occupied by folks who would at the most make about $88,000 a year for a family income. If they exceeded that by a great amount, they would have to move out. And joining us today to give kind of the other side of what is facing the folks in Fairfield, a couple of concerned citizens. Cassandra Marshall is here with us in the studio. Cassandra, how are you? Thanks for stopping by.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm glad you invited me.
Well, great. And Dom DeFont is joining us via phone. Dom, can you hear us?
I do. Hi. Thanks for having us on.
No problem, Dom. Well, listen, Cassandra, let me start with you. You're a couple of concerned citizens. The folks from the Housing Authority and from a community group kind of aired their thoughts the other day, saying that, you know, they're trying to work to make this happen, and we're talking about a specific property, 980 High Street in the town. For folks who may be just tuning into this today, Cassandra, talk about that property. What is it like?
So this property is a historic property. At the front of the property, there is a building that has been built in 1895, so it's over 100 years old. It's in great condition. Mm-hmm. I walk by it every day when I walk my kids to school. There's lots of mature trees on it. In the back is basically meadowland, and it was farmland when the Judds were still alive. And then in the very back of the property, we have a significant wetland. So this property is beautiful sanctuary for animals, and it's a historic part of our community, and we don't want to see our neighborhood lose that.
Dom, anything you want to add on that, on the property itself or the outlook of the land if somebody isn't familiar with it?
No, not at all. I mean, I guess I would just add to Cassandra's feedback. It's a beautiful property. You know, it has wetlands, which we'd love to preserve. It's sited on top of the Rooster River watershed, which has shown flood risk in the town of Fairfield, especially in September. And that's really our concern. You know, we're not, you know, as some people may think, of us, we're not against affordable housing. We've made that clear within our group, where we have 600 members. We just don't feel that this is a well-suited property for development, generally speaking.
So, Dom, I want to just double check that with you, just to make sure people get the right impression here. So, you and Cassandra are saying it's not the idea of affordable housing in Fairfield or more of it. It's the location. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And also because it's so many units, it's 40 units, which is a very intense use of land. So if we could agree that 40 units is definitely not appropriate right next to a wetlands.
Dom, your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Give a little bit about my background. I mean, I'm born and raised in Waterbury, Connecticut. Lived in what's called low-income rental communities in Waterbury, you know, from a family of factory workers, and, you know, lived in Stamford. And I moved to Fairfield because I wanted to live in a quiet town after living in cities all of my life. I wanted to be somewhere with nature and you know, hiking, you know, all of the different things that you think of in a quiet, smaller town. That's why I moved there. So, look, I've lived in affordable housing. I was part of the free lunch program in the Waterbury Public Schools. Not against affordable housing at all. I'm absolutely for it. I mean, if you find the right place and location for it, I think everyone on the group would be all for it.
Where would you, Dom, we'll start with you, and then I'll go to you, Cassandra, and you may be of like mind on this. Dom, where would you suggest if the town wants to add units, where should they do that?
I mean, right now the town of Fairfield's working on an initiative called Transit-Oriented Development. The Transit-Oriented Development Initiative, if you go and read up on it, it's really to work on getting looser regulations there so that developers could build properties. And the current focus is on luxury apartments around the walkable area of the Metro's train station. I personally think that that would be a great opportunity to incentivize developers specifically focusing on affordable housing or maybe even the housing authority to build developments there where, you know, residents can walk down to the local grocery store, bring some groceries home, you know, can take the train station to and from work wherever they live, you know?
Cassandra, does Fairfield have, is it one of the towns that's just too expensive to live in for a lot of folks? Do you think a development like this would bring in more people there, maybe with young kids to kind of grow the town?
Well, I'm not an expert about that. I mean, my overall feeling is one of the reasons I moved to Fairfield is because it's very diverse and very affordable. Yeah. But I'm not an expert on what.
But you would be in favor then of looking for other areas to
I
do this
totally
in?
Totally see why there would be a need for that. I know that one of the things the town's also working on is any developer who's building over X amount of units has to include affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way for us to integrate them into our community.
Mm-hmm. So where would you say, Cassandra, I mean, obviously there's a difference of opinion between the housing authority and your group, but what is it simply the location and the size of the development, not that there's a need for it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's simply that it's an inappropriate location right next to the wetlands and with all these mature trees around. Another thing to add is just, you know, we have a fox family that lives in there. We have deer. We have these special yellow-necked crown herons that come back every year and migrate to their nesting location in this spot. And there's things like pheasants that go through. So once we displace, it's like we're taking open space from our community and overdeveloping it. And that's the concern.
Dom, have you made these, I would assume you have, but to whom and how have you made these concerns voiced about some of the wildlife and natural aspects of that plot of land?
I mean, we've built up a Facebook group with an audience of 613 at this stage. You know, we've asked neighbors to post pictures of their flooding issues. We've got, I think, 13 pictures of homes that have shown flooding in the area because they're on that watershed. We've shown pictures of all of these beautiful animals. We've got a picture there of probably the most beautiful picture I've seen of a fox where he's standing on a stump alongside the Judd Estate, overlooking a sunrise. I mean, it's, you know, we've got amazing content there. If you'd like to join, we'd love to have you.
Dom, back to you for a moment. Talk a little bit about the flooding problems, the water problems. And I know the folks that were in here a couple of days ago, Carol Martin and Christine Stewart, said that they're trying to address those problems engineer-wise and landscaping-wise. Talk a little about that, Dom.
Sure thing. So, when we learned about this development, we started thinking about what could be the potential concerns. We asked the community, the neighbors specifically, and flooding came up as one. So what I could tell you is one day in January, it was raining. I asked, just put out a simple post, you know, hey, if you have any flooding issues, please post some pictures. And we had a good 25 comments and posts from neighbors with all of their flooding photos. Some people, it looked like they had a pond in their backyard. And one woman actually posted a video of what looked like a river on the side of her house, which happened on September 25th. Now, in September 25th, if you look back at some news reporting, you'll find that the Rooster River flooded, right? Okay. It didn't flood in the Judd Estate. It flooded along the Stratfield neighborhood, which borders Bridgeport and Fairfield. And there was a 6.8-inch rain that dropped. The Rooster River is volatile, doesn't have too much drainage. And that caused significant flooding across the community. And the town leader of Fairfield and Mayor Ganim actually met with the community to discuss what the issues are. Now, I'm not a flooding expert. Obviously, we need to have people in the Department of Public Works and experts who really understand this this complex topic to really review what is a development like this right on the Rooster River watershed mean for the community.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, Dom, is do you know for sure or not whether or not this development, if built in any size, would exacerbate those flooding problems?
I don't know if they'll exacerbate them, but I can tell you that they're currently there. The Department of Public Works is aware of them. Mm-hmm. The neighbors have raised them to them. And in September 25th, when this was raised with regards to the flooding in the Bridgeport Fairfield area, the Department of Public Works made it clear that the drainage isn't there that is able to handle it. They referenced it as an area that needs six lanes of roadway that only has three lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, look, I'm a computer engineer, software developer, so I can't really speak to the expertise there, but that's kind of what I heard from the town, and you know, I think we just need the experts to give us that feedback.
Cassandra, I'll go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add on one thing, that the proposed units sit above the wetlands, so whatever rain is falling off of those roofs in that driveway is flowing downhill towards these wetlands.
Got it.
And then beyond that is the downhill neighborhood. So that's something to consider, is that this sort of sits at the top of the hill. And so whatever's coming off of this is flowing down to the neighbors through the wetlands.
So you're saying there's going to be no spot of just natural untouched ground for the water to go to. It's going to roll downhill.
In fact, the historic house has a well in the back, so that's mm-hmm. how they used to get their water. So
because,
there is underground
okay.
water there.
Yeah, yeah. So the water table is high enough.
Yep.
What, Cassandra? What you say? You walk you walk through the neighborhood
yep.
there. Without naming names, without getting specific, what is the neighborhood general buzz on this? You people talk about it. Is there a diversity of opinion on it? Is there a unanimity? Tough word on a Friday. Is there a unanimity of opinion? It's just the people you talk to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the neighborhood is really stressed about this, for sure. Lots and lots of concerns, you know, everything from where is everybody going to park and traffic and the fact that the buildings themselves are not in scale with the neighborhood. So I think the general opinion is everyone's stressed out about this.
Dom, go ahead, and I was going to ask you, Dom, to comment on what she said, and also, is there a fear for property values?
Yeah, I live 2 miles away okay. from the development, and I'm helping just out of principle.
Yep.
Feedback that we're getting from the community is it's really the concern on how this impacts the character of their neighborhood and the infrastructure of the area. You know, is it capable of handling 40 more families? Are the sidewalks, are the sidewalks to get to the bus stop or to the local grocer walkable? Are there any sidewalks? Are the roads wide enough? All of those concerns are really what we're hearing. And I would just say, in terms of the community, First Selectman Tetro was gracious enough to host a public hearing on the topic, and we filled up a cafeteria of the local elementary school full of neighborhoods of the community.
So this must be one of the, a buzz on this must be pretty big in town then, I would think.
Yes, and we're very grateful that there is interest and that there are other people in other parts of the town that are just as concerned mm-hmm. about overdevelopment as we are. So mm-hmm. we're very grateful for that.
And I guess the next step in this is a hearing on July 10th, I think
yes.
it is, next week.
Yes.
What's supposed to happen there?
So there is a wetlands meeting on July 10th at 7 p.m. in which the developer is going to apply for a permit to build near the wetlands, and they will take a look at her proposal and either approve or deny.
Interesting. Dom, where do you think this goes? I'm not asking you to be a gambling man, but I'm going to ask you to be a gambling man. If you were rolling the dice on this, Dom, what do you think ultimately happens here? What do you think?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, this is an 830G development, right?
What does that mean?
Well, we just learned what that meant, I guess, in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
So A33 is a state statute.
Yep.
That basically gives developers the ability to circumvent zoning in towns, zoning rules in town, to get their development in if they're not at the at the recommended level of affordable housing.
10%, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying that odds. So is it? I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but Dom, are you saying that odds on, when push comes to if push comes to shove, this is going to happen either way?
Honestly speaking,
yeah.
Yes, but I would also mention that that's the case for a lot of different developments that have been turned down, right? I mean, I think Wilton proved their resilience when they tried to put Route 7 as a connector into Hartford,
mm-hmm.
You know, the small town where 384 ends at the northeastern tip of Connecticut, showed their resilience, right? I mean, this isn't a sprint. This is a long-distance event, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not looking to, you know, debate, you know, he say, she say.
Yep.
We're, mm-hmm. we're looking for the town and the state to look at the facts and hopefully give us a reasonable outcome.
Got it. Dom, thank you for joining us on the phone. Concerned citizen Dom DeFond. Dom, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Cassandra Marshall dropping by as well. So I guess you will be in attendance, I'm guessing, at that hearing coming up next week. And hopefully we can have you back or connect with you on the phone. Cassandra, thanks so much. We appreciate
it. Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go from the cranky world of soccer to the calm, genial world of the General Assembly, where voices are never raised, where all is wonderful, where it's always my dear friend on the other side of the aisle. And Kevin Kelly joins us from the State Senate, Republican of Stratford. Right, Kevin? There's never any, not like with the U.S. women's soccer team, there's never any consternation in the General Assembly.
I don't know what you were describing there, but certainly not what I experienced.
No? No,
believe it or not,
it's not all tea and crumpets and love up in Hartford, huh?
No, and that is one of the beauty of American democracy is that you know, we can disagree as long as we're not disagreeable. That's the main point.
Well, that all goes away over a couple of milkshakes, but let's not digress there. So, Kevin, how are you? Number one and number two. I guess we are gearing up now for what a first special session regarding bonding? Is that the way it's going to go?
Well, sure. I mean, obviously, this is the 4th of July weekend. You know, we met with family and friends over the past couple days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, local fireworks, and you have your family barbecues. So I hope that, you know, all families and all listeners are doing likewise and celebrating, you know, the true beauty of America. We have a lot to be thankful for. And it's worthy of a good celebration. As to the General Assembly, yes, you know, we're going to be looking at bonding, you know, probably school construction also. But those are the things that are coming up and on the radar, I'm going to say sometime soon, really. All depends upon when the governor calls it.
Okay, so the first one, Kevin, is going to be bonding. That will not include anything about tolls, right or wrong?
Correct. I mean, right now, obviously, the governor wants to move forward with his tolls to put those across the state and to take more money out of our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans have prioritized progress, which goes about the issue from a totally different perspective. But we're not looking at bonding in that respect in the special session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the toll special session, if there is one, August, September, maybe, because the bonding thing has to come first, right?
Well, I mean, once again, it's priorities. I mean, we can set the right priorities or the wrong priorities, and I believe we have the wrong priorities being set. I've noticed this past couple, you know, this past week or so, the governor and UConn came up with, you know, anywhere from $13 to $15.5 million. So that UConn could leave the American, all-American conference to go to the Big East. Yet in the waning days of the session, no Democrat was capable of finding $18 to $19 million to give the people of Connecticut a 5% reduction in their insurance premiums. You know, so when we talk about health care, we got to set the right priorities. And that priority was, you know, we can lower premium. There is a way to do it. It's called reinsurance. It's a bill that I proposed at the beginning of session, had no appetite during session. It wasn't until the budget was finally cast, but they then started to scramble looking for money and didn't have any. But now after the budget, voila, you know, if we want to move a basketball team from one conference to another, the governor and UConn can find the money. But when it comes to people's health care, that priority wasn't important enough.
And Kevin, let me drop in here because you brought up UConn. I don't want to forget to ask this. Now we're starting to hear the rumblings again, Kevin, of, well, the Excel Center needs work. You're seeing figures of $100 million. $125 million, up to $200 or $250 million. Other people like me, Kevin, I say sell the place. I know there's been a couple of private entities who are looking at it. They'll buy it, pay for the upgrades. They own it then. They work out an agreement with the state. Is that going to be on the table as well? Because I don't see in this case with our finances, Kevin, how that's a priority.
Well, that's the problem. We aren't looking at the priorities. We aren't setting the right agenda and putting needs above wants. And that's where, and rightly so, I think people across Connecticut get, you know, disgusted with their government because they make a sacrifice every year to pay their taxes, and then they see that sacrifice being abused.
Kevin, thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and fight the fight. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, you do likewise, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. From Stratford, one of our great hometowns here in Connecticut, State Senator Kevin Kelly, Republican. There's Aaron on the other side of the glass waving the Stratford flag. That's it. Running through the streets. Here he is, like Mel Gibson and the Patriot, coming over the hill with that Stratford flag. Here he comes.